So we're in the midst of this series about the heart, both our hearts and the heart of our faith. This morning we're going to talk about the Bible as the story of the heart. And the scripture is 2 Timothy 3:14-17. Paul's talking to Timothy and he says, "But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us what to do what is right. And God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work." Father, I ask that as we explore this topic of the Bible and Scripture, that You would speak to us by Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. There's no way getting around it, but Scripture lies at the heart of Christian faith. The problem comes in that people have a variety of ways of looking at Scripture. Even the text we read this morning where it says that the Scripture is inspired or God-breathed, people have different ideas of what does it mean for a God to have breathed Scripture and what inspiration is. I was talking with Ann and Doug before the service, and I asked the question, it's a genuine question, and I just wonder, when Scripture itself never calls the Bible or calls Scripture the Word of God, it only calls Jesus the Word of God, and it only calls the proclamation of Jesus the Word, why is it that we've turned Bible into the Word of God? What is the Bible? If you were talking about Islam has a scripture and it's called the Quran, and Paul, Philetus, you deal with Muslims a lot. What do they believe is true about the Quran? How did they get the Quran? Yeah, so God directly dictates the Quran to Muhammad. And then you have the Quran. And so, strict Muslims would say, if you have an English translation of the Quran, it's not really the Quran because it's not in Arabic, which is the way it was passed on. That's not the case with Christianity. How do we get the Bible? How did we get the Bible? We got the Bible over many, 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 many years, not at one fell swoop. We got the Bible through the writings of a variety of men and women in a variety of places over literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And it took hundreds of years for the Jewish people to come to some kind of an agreement as to what should be included in what they called the Bible, their scriptures. And then we have what we call the New Testament, and it was written by a variety of people over a long period of time, and it took equally as long, a couple of hundred years, before we decided as a church, the big church, what was to be included in our scriptures. And even today, whether you're talking about Catholic or Orthodox or the Protestant churches, there's differences of opinion as to what should be included in the Bible. As late as the Reformation, Martin Luther said, the book of James should not be in the Bible. Get rid of it. Done. But over the centuries, the Christian church has kind of settled on a basic understanding together of what we would include in what we call the Old Testament and the New Testament. But then we come to the issue of inspiration, and we ask the question, well, what does that mean? For some people, it means that in a similar way to Islam, that at least portions of the book that are included in the Bible were dictated directly by God. And there are others who would say, well, if Dave Little was one of the writers of one of the books of the Bible, maybe God didn't dictate it to Dave, but he directed Dave's thinking so much that what Dave wrote wasn't really what Dave was thinking. It was only what God was thinking. And then there are others who say, no, Sam, he wrote part one of the books of the Bible, and Sam was influenced by the Spirit so much that God moved him to write these things down. But they're really Sam's words. I believe that there are two issues that face the church in the West today that over the next 100 years are going to be the big topics that we continue to kind of wrestle with. One is the nature and purpose of the church. We were talking in our staff this morning. I truly believe so many Christians in America just have a total misunderstanding of what the church is and why the church exists. And we've got to change our thinking. We've got to get our thinking right. We've got to repent. We've got to reorient our thoughts as to what is the church. But I think the second one is, and equally as important, is what is the purpose and what is the nature of Scripture? And how do we read it? At one point, Jesus has a conversation with a Pharisee. The Pharisee is asking him, what does he have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus asks the question, well, what does the Torah say? What does the Scripture say? How do you read it? Now, just in asking that question, Jesus reveals something. There are different ways of reading Scripture. Jesus' answer is, in the midst of that, is there are two commandments that really capture the whole of Scripture. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. In another place, he says, all of the law and the prophets hang on those two commandments. All of the law and prophets can be reduced down to those two things. If you do those two things, if you love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and you love your neighbor as yourself, you're going to basically fulfill the teaching of the Scriptures. You're going to live according to the teaching of the Scripture. But there are less than good ways of reading Scripture. Jesus came in conflict with the Pharisees again and again and again. And these were people who are experts in the Scripture. And basically what he came in conflict was with their understanding of the application of the words on the page of Scripture. Rather than serving life, they serve death. That's pretty much what he says over and over again. He's saying to them, you missed the point. You need to get back on track. And part of his answer of getting back on track is understanding what is the purpose of the Scriptures. And what he says to them at one point is, you search the Scriptures thinking that in them you find eternal life, but they don't give life. He says, what they do is they point to me and I give life and you reject me. So the purpose of the Scriptures is to point us to Christ, and the purpose of Christ is to point us to God. This is eternal life, that you would know me, the Father, and the Son whom he has sent, Jesus Christ. That's what eternal life is. It's living in a dynamic relationship with a God who speaks to us. And one of the ways he speaks to us is through the Scriptures. The Spirit of God not only inspires those who wrote the Scriptures to write what they wrote, but he inspires us as we read the Scriptures and we come to life, not because we have made a God out of the Bible, but because the God of the Bible speaks to us through the stories of Scripture. A Presbyterian pastor who is much more conservative than I one of my favorite authors, Timothy Keller, once said this. You all know who Timothy Keller is? If you don't know, you should, so go out and buy one of his books. Timothy Keller says, most people think the Bible is a book of teaching that is sprinkled with stories to illustrate that teaching. Now think about that for a minute. A book of teaching that's sprinkled with stories to illustrate the teaching. What's important is the teaching. The teaching has to do with propositional truth, though so doctrines are taught there. And then the stories illustrate those doctrines. That's what he's saying. That's what most people think. He says, in reality, the Bible is one grand story that is sprinkled with teachings that illustrate the story. What a different way of looking at Scripture. And I think that is the future for the church in America. The Gospels are filled, again, with page after page of Jesus confronting and rebuking religious leaders of the day for avoiding the main message about God, for the hurtful and damaging way in which they read Scripture, and in so doing, they miss the very heart of God. And so Jesus reads Scripture differently. And I think we need to learn to read Scripture the way Jesus does. He is the Lord, is he not? He is the master. Is he not the one that we're following? So if he's the one we're following, we ought to read Scripture the way Jesus reads Scripture, not the way the Pharisees read Scripture. Somehow, the church in America has tended to adopt the Pharisees' ways of thinking and reading the Scripture with wooden literalism that misses the heart of God altogether. The Gospels present Jesus as someone who repeatedly shocked and scandalized the keepers of the law, frequently issuing in open confrontation with them. He was opposed to their law-keeping because he saw the religious leaders' way of reading Scripture was hurting people, pushing people away from God rather than drawing them to God, creating barriers that kept them from God. This last week, Paul Philetus gave me an article in which it says, Jesus looked at the whole system of the Pharisees, which was erroneously, enormously complex and full of inconsistencies, and in essence, he doubted it. He sifted out a lot of the clutter and boiled all the rest down to some beautiful essentials, like loving God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. He adamantly rejects the Pharisees' way of reading and understanding and applying Scripture. And instead, Jesus' way of reading Scripture caused him to act in such ways to restore people, to heal people's hearts and minds and bodies and relationships, to heal community, refusing to be held back by legal restrictions. Jesus told them that what mattered and what they completely missed was acting in compassion and restorative justice. I met a man this morning who's visiting with us who works with, help me the name again, World Challenge. Comes out of David Wilkerson and that whole group there. But what's your focus now? World Poverty Solution. Those solutions are solutions that come out of the heart of God and the heart of Jesus, restorative justice, acting in compassion. Jesus' revelation of the heart of God is disclosed in his life and his reading of Scripture. manifested the radical stance of prioritizing love over law. Remember that Jesus says again and again, if you want to know what God is like, look at me. Now think about how radical that statement is. If you want to know what God is like, you look at me. I mean, I couldn't say that. Can you say that, Bridget? But that's what we're supposed to be moving toward. All of us. Because Jesus reveals the heart of God. Jesus reveals what God is really like. And all of the biblical story ultimately points to Jesus. Which is why Jesus on the road to Emmaus after his resurrection, talking with two disciples who are destitute, who are demoralized because they thought all of their hope had gone to smithereens on the cross. Come to a new understanding of what God is about and who God is and what he's doing and what he's done in and through the life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Which is to redeem, restore, renew an entire world gone wrong. One is, I think we need to begin reading Scripture as sign and symbol. Signs and symbols are things that point us to something that's even more real. That's what this table is. This is a sign and a symbol, but it points us to something even more real. So Scripture is something that points us to a way of seeing God in our life with God, through the lens of Jesus, empowered by his Spirit. Something alive and dynamic rather than static and fixed. We cannot approach the Bible like a book of mechanical engineering. Secondly, is that our reading of Scripture needs to be sacramental. That is, we need to come to an awareness and a belief that God will meet us through the activity of his Spirit, both in the writing and the reading, where we meet God personally, where God comes alive to us in a new way. Because Christianity is not so much a matter of believing a set of propositions as it is believing and trusting in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. And that leads to a transformational life where our hearts are changed. And when our hearts are changed, the decisions we make, the relationships we keep, the thoughts that we have, what we give ourselves to is transformed because Jesus is alive. Father, I ask that you would talk to us by your Holy Spirit this morning. And that you would come to us as we gather around your table. That you would meet us and that our hearts would be touched and changed. And we come to you in Jesus' name. Amen.